welcome you to worship with us. You can stand, you can sit, whatever the Spirit makes you feel.
Oh,
know, I love this song because of the things that it says you are, but I love that you are so much more than what this song says you are. You are a redeemer. You are a counselor. You are a friend. You are a healer. You are so much more than what we can ever think, ever say. God, you know everything that we go through. You are there to pick us up when we're down. You are there to change things. You are there to make us feel like we are whole again when we don't feel whole. You are there, God, in the midst of trial. You are there, God, when we are down. You are there, God.
Hallelujah.
And for anything else that I don't thank you for, I thank you that you are there when nobody else is. That you are there when friends are gone. That you are there when others give up on us. That you are there. And we thank you this morning, God, because you didn't have to wake us up, but you did.
Yes, you did, God.
We pray for the people that have been affected by the fires this morning, Lord. Somebody didn't wake up with a roof over their head this morning. Somebody lost their lives, Lord. But you saw fit that we would be here this morning. So we thank you, and we pray for the families of those affected by the fire. You are the living word. And that word lives in me. And it lives in all of us. And we thank you this morning, God. We say hallelujah. The highest praise be unto you. You and you alone are worthy. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath praise the Lord. You can make a rock stand up and praise you if you wanted to. But God, you don't have to do that, because I will praise you. If nobody else will praise you, I will praise you this morning. Because you've been good to me. You've been good to me. Oh.
that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. I fully know and love by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's blind and ridiculous.
So last week, we concluded our sermon series on reclaiming Jesus, and I hope you were spiritually fed during these past few weeks as we covered quite a bit of territory on a variety of topics and life and faith topics. And I'm extremely appreciative to everyone who gifted us with messages during this sermon series and in our worship services, which also included, and I want to give a shout out to Melinda Hale and the guest panelists for last Sunday's post worship discussion on racism. So now, we flip a page. We're on to a new sermon series and our spiritual and life journey, and it's titled Enough, based on the same titled book written by Reverend Adam Hamilton, senior pastor at Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. We as humanity on earth, we have this deep and constant yearning, and that deep and constant yearning is about more. But the question here is do we realize and acknowledge that we actually have enough? Because for many of us, I would say oftentimes there's this gnawing feeling that's inside of us, just it's ugh, and sinking thoughts that it's like, no, we don't have enough. And to me, this is human nature. It's culture that's throwing us off a divine life course. So over this three-week period, it's only 3 weeks, I'm going to tie in Scripture along with what Reverend Hamilton has written to help us find the keys to experiencing contentment and overcoming fear, as well as discovering joy through simplicity and generosity. I want us to and to help us understand that money and possessions, that we have that in our lives, that it has power. Within that power, though, is a positivity and negativity. And by the way, I also want to take this moment to give a shout out to Charles Klossmeyer. I want to give a shout out to Chuck because he's leading our current 9-week course on Financial Peace University. That's right, 1 week to go. And it's the fourth time that course has been held here, hosted and led. And so, Chuck, here's a big thank you. Thank you very much, because you're making a life-changing difference for these participants, and they are going to be grateful for many years to come. So that's God working through you, and thank you, brother. So in the sermon series, what we're going to do is we're going to walk down this financial talk path together, and it may create a bit of angst in you. Well, guess what? Pastor Mark's got a little bit of angst in him too, okay? Because what it does is it shines this bright light on a key area that many of us rather keep under lock and key. In fact, I think we'd rather put it under the mattress and just, you know, act like, no, we're hiding it there because we don't want to know about it and nobody else needs to know about it. Don't know my business. Nevertheless, I believe this wholeheartedly. And I want to point it out that the church, we got to be cognizant of this fact, that the church must do this, that the church would be doing all of us a huge disservice if we disregarded the significance, and that's also including Christ's call on what it means to be a good steward of what has been given to you, what has been given to us, but it has been given to us by God. My friends, our financial well-being is part of the life of faith, and with this sermon series, just letting you know, I'm here to lift you up. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm not trying to get you to run to the hills. I'm here to lift you up. I want us to move forward in a very healthy direction so that all of you can thrive and we can thrive. I want to shed a light on whatever issues that you may be facing while also leading us to financial and spiritual freedom. Freedom. So with all of this, let's turn to today's scripture passage, which comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. The translation is from the Common English Bible, and the verses will be shown up on the monitors. And Beth Mueller, please come forward. Do you have a mic? Give her a mic. Give Beth a mic. There we go. And again, Luke 12, verses 13 through 21.
Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?" This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. Luke 12, 13 through 21.
Thank you, Beth. And may God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. The first verses in this passage warn us about how easy, how very easy it is to get sucked into the insatiable black hole, otherwise known as greed. Often we're told that the meaning and value of our lives is established through accumulating material possessions, abundant possession. But here's Jesus, and it's very interesting. Jesus gives us this very wise counterpoint. And what he says, and he's also addressing the brother, he says, one's life isn't determined by possessions, even when someone is very wealthy. And man, is that impactful right now when we're talking about all these natural disasters, right? It's not about their possessions. It's about their life. Now, I want to set the record straight. Wealth isn't a bad thing. Wealth isn't a bad thing at all. It's how you're using it. Because there's a societal assumption that's at play here. And what it says is, and this is back in the day of Jesus, as it is now, that the assumption is that everything that's placed in our hands, that's for us. Us alone. It's that everything's in our personal space. Everything that's in our personal world that is intended strictly for us and only for us, nobody else. And then here's Jesus, and he goes into story mode, and you know he tells a good story. He really does. And that's what he's well known for. And here's a guy. This is what he says. Here's a guy. It's a certain rich man. And he can pretty much do whatever he wants. And man, oh man, he's had an exceptionally fantastic business year. It is beyond the scope. And so what is he going to do? What is he going to do with all this extra above and beyond that he even needs? It's above and beyond his immediate needs. What to do? Oh man, what to do? Well, here's this man with extra. He doesn't have enough storage. And what he decides to do is out with the old, in with the new. Hey, I'm going to tear down these small buildings and I'm going to build bigger, better ones. And that seems pretty reasonable. In fact, here in America, we'd say that's an industrious fella. He's thinking smart, right? Gosh, don't you wish you were like this rich dude with rich dude problems, right? And all Jesus has to do now in this story is he's just going to tie it up with a nice little happy bow and say, and he lived happily ever after. But here's where Jesus goes all morbid on us. The guy dies. He had it all. He had the super duper life. Everything's going fine, and then finito, bye-bye, rich man. I imagine that surprise twist actually captured rapt attention of that listening audience of Jesus. They're going like, what? Because see, the story about what happens when we have more than we actually need had to have grabbed a hold of them. They didn't anticipate this, that we're not to simply store away all that we've been given and that we have for ourselves, because that's not what truly matters. It's what we do with what we have. That in following the way of Christ, we are to pursue a life of generosity and be rich toward God. Savings, that's important. It's absolutely appropriate that we save, but that is only one component. That is only one component of proper stewardship of God's bounty. And as for generosity, deep down inside, I was thinking about this too for all of you. I think every one of us without a doubt want to be generous. I think so. And we want to be able to give back to God. We absolutely want to dig into our pockets and be good stewards and say, hey, I want to help the poor and marginalized. But what is tremendously sad in this story, this parable from Jesus, is that the rich man demonstrated none of that. The rich man demonstrated none of these things. What he had done is he places the divine creator on the back burner. He's over there. He has forgotten that it is God that has given him his bounty. His entire focus is on himself. If you look at the parable, there's dominating pronouns in that parable. I'm going to say those for you. What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest. Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store my grain and goods. God, out of the equation. The rich man who's named a fool, and that's pretty harsh, he's a self-absorbed hoarder. What he's done is he's stored it up for his own selfish wants. Eat, drink, and be merry for me. He's been rich toward himself while leaving God and the others out in the cold. There's no offering of thanksgiving. This man has completely forgotten, and there is no love extended to family, friends, loved ones, or the community. Greed has eaten away whatever compassion that he may have once had. Adam Hamilton points out in this story, in this parable, and he says, this reveals a very important part of nature for which we are susceptible. And it's exemplified what he calls affluenza and creditis. Affluenza and creditis. And you may have heard those words before, and so I'm going to help define those. Affluenza. Affluenza is this constant need for more, bigger, better. You may even throw in faster, too. More, bigger, better. And there was this program on PBS, and it defined affluenza as this unfulfilled feeling that results in efforts to keep up with the Joneses. It's this epidemic of stress and overwork, waste, indebtedness caused by the dogged pursuit of the American dream. And as we know, the American dream, this is what it tends to tell us this, is we measure our success by the stuff we possess. That's how we measure our success, is the stuff we possess. And then what follows closely on the coattail of affluenza is creditis. Creditis is right there. And creditis is basically what it is it's an opportunity to buy now and we're going to pay for it later. And it's basically that idea of, hey, I can enjoy this today. I'll deal with it later, tomorrow, whenever. And what it does is it feeds into our desire for instant gratification. For clarity, creditis is not limited to the purchases that you make with a credit card. Creditis includes things like financial loans, student loans, car loans, mortgages, other types of loans. And so what happens is when we're influenced by or we're unfortunately caught in the clutches of affluenza and or creditis, it's vital for us, and this may come across really harsh, we need to recognize that when we're caught up in the clutches of this, that there's a brokenness within us. There's a brokenness. And what I mean by this is what has happened in our brokenness is that we have turned to possessions to be the answer rather than to God. We're starting to compete against people in a dog-eat-dog mentality, or I got to have more than you, right, than turning to the love of people. The pursuit of money has become more important than the pursuit of faith. What we've done is we've fallen prey to society's siren call, hoard your resources because there's not enough. You need to cover your needs and wants rather than sharing with others that are in need. And most importantly, what we've done with affluenza and creditis is we've closed ourselves off from God rather than opening ourselves up to God's higher purpose in our lives. This week, I've got a couple of questions for you I'd love for you to reflect upon, and I'm going to put these also on our social media, and I'll put it in the e-news this week as well. And so here's these questions, and I would like us to say these, ask these together. Let's ask these together. How can I open my heart and mind to allow God's Spirit to work in me, discovering joy through simplicity and generosity? How can I wisely use my time, talents, and resources to make a difference in this world? See, in the grand scheme of things, our life's purpose is greater than our self-interest. Saying that again, our life's purpose is greater than our self-interest. Purpose requires planning. Planning requires setting goals. And what we do then is we are properly aligning those resources that we've been given with our life purpose, or what some would call a higher purpose. And so Adam brought into his book six financial planning principles. And what I want to do is share those with you. Some you may already be doing, but I wanted to share this. I think it's important sharing these things. And it helps us live into our understanding of enough. So number one is pay your tithe and offering first. Pay your tithe and offering first. And Ron was talking about that this morning. And what we're doing is we're offering to God the first fruits of our labors, not the leftovers. And we go a long way, and this isn't true. We go a long way in discovering our purpose when we are giving back to God and giving back to this world. And in an upcoming message, what I want to do is I'm going to focus on that one, because I want to take back some of those layers, because when someone says, pay your tithe, immediately we want to run for the hills. It's like, oh, church, pay your tithe. What I'm going to do is just, I'm going to tell what the truth of that, what it means, but I'll be in an upcoming message. Number two is create a budget and track your expenses. Now, in a nutshell, Dave Ramsey says this, and I love what he says. He says, every dollar has an assignment. Every dollar has an assignment. That's mind-blowing if you really start thinking about that. And so when you do this, what you're doing is you're telling your money what you want it to do. And now I know completing a budget and tracking your expenses, some of you are like, oh, Pastor Mark, you're just giving me something to do, a chore. And you're rolling your eyes to the heaven and saying, please, Lord Jesus, have him stop. But I'm telling you, this is really important, because when you are going and budgeting and tracking your expenses as well as income, it will align you with your purpose. And I am a fan. There's a particular app, an application that you can go to, and it's called EveryDollar, EveryDollar.com. And I know there's a few people in here that do this. EveryDollar.com, it has been a major help for me, and I know it's been a major help for others. Number three is simplify your lifestyle. Simplify your lifestyle, and what that is, and Chuck talked about this yesterday in the course when I was there with him, live below your means. Live below your means. Are you making the most of everything that you have? This is an important question to ask, is your heart unburdened? That follows under simplify your lifestyle. And what we're going to do is we're going to delve further into that principle next week. Number four is establish an emergency fund. And what this is different than having a checking account or a savings account. An emergency fund is very important, right, Chuck? Yeah, coordinator of our Financial Peace University, yes, indeed. Because what this fund does is it's specifically set up and set aside when emergencies arise. Because who in here hasn't gone through an emergency, right? Again, Ron was talking about that. Ron was talking about the year he's had, right? So emergencies do arise, and they're unexpected. There are never emergencies where you went, oh, I knew that was coming. It's always unexpected. Medical needs, the car breaks down, the pet gets sick, whatever's going on, right? And what happens is we set up the emergency fund so that we're not having to whip out the wallet and grab the credit card and then go further into debt, right? The emergency fund is set up to help you succeed. And what Dave Ramsey says is establish this fund as a priority in your life, and your goal is to have $1,000 in that fund for emergencies. Number five is pay off your credit cards. Use cash debit cards for purchases and use credit wisely. Now, I can already hear this. I'm already hearing it now. I need my credit cards. I've got to have my credit cards. Don't take them away. Now, hear me out. Okay, if you build your, as you're building your emergency fund, and trust me, this is important, pay off those credit cards. Get out of debt. And typically, it takes 18 to 24 months to do it if you're really on point. And I am so proud of individuals that have done this. And while that's happening, what you do is you use as little cash, you use cash whenever possible instead of the credit cards. And let me tell you, when you start paying things with cash, it is hard to get that cash out of your hands. It's a lot easier to throw out the plastic than it is the cash. You're holding on to that cash for dear life. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is what you want to do is you're paying interest to a credit card company, and that's not helping you. That is not helping you at all to achieve your life purpose and your life goal. And number six is practice long-term savings and investing habits. There's a big difference between saving and hoarding. Saving is meant to be purposeful. So you're saving for emergencies, you're saving for goals that you've set in your life, and you're saving for retirement, which is typically an afterthought here in California. So regarding these six financial planning principles, and I'm being very upfront and honest with you, if you have questions, talk to me. In my former life, career, I was a business administrator. I dealt with people and their finances. We have people here that deal with finances. You got Chuck here as a resource as well. Use us, because we want to help you. My friends, our lives are a gift from God. Everything, as we're closing now, everything we are given should be used to be and make certain that our needs are taken care of. That's important, while we're also advancing God's agenda for care and compassion toward all, especially for those who lack the necessary resources. So let's take the time to discern what God is saying to you in your life and what your purpose is. Risk living into your faith. Risk living into your faith. And let's live our lives wisely while also being rich towards God. Amen. Amen.